Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Sunday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there. Join the militia. We are back doing some TBT talk. And maybe Joe pulled something out of ACC Media Day that others didn't. I don't know. We'll have to see what Joe has to say about all of that. You know, it hasn't been a whole lot other than TBT. I'm happy to be back kind of watching real live action and getting to talk about something of some substance here. But on the football front, it's been a little weak. As we get closer and closer to football season, I expect for that to step up, I hope. But we'll get into a little bit of that, but before we do that, I did buddies raking in the NIL deals, which is pretty. I mean, hey man, he's got to be I'm reading stuff that's saying he's like the king of this right now. So he's the one out there doing it. Yeah, I know.
It just started, and he was the first one to use the logo. So. That commercial is pretty funny, isn't it?
Yeah, the Three Wishes cereal, which, by the way, never even heard of this cereal. It's almost like a, knockoff type thing. But
never know.
Yeah, I know. Watch it become popular. So, anyway.
Seriously.
He's raking in all that. Seems pretty harmless right now. I think This is the stuff they should have been able to do, in my opinion.
Right.
When we talked for this, we've talked about this for at least, this would be our sixth basketball season. I don't know if there was a season we ever went where we weren't talking about it. And this was kind of the thought process behind what I pictured it to look like. Now, it's a can of worms. Could be a can of worms, I suppose. And we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. But, Joe, ACC Media Day. Didn't send a quarterback. You called me when you realized that we weren't doing a show that week, but you did call me, and we talked about that a little bit, and obviously, that's already been speculated on why they possibly did that, but what'd you think, you get out of ACC Media Day in general, if anything?
I think that it would have been a little bit different if I would have been able to actually, watch it live, or, I know that they do stream that, and being able to listen to all the coaches and stuff like that. But I don't think they kind of were a lot of questions that we saw. And again, just holding the hand close to the chest is what Dino Babers usually does. And I don't know. We got away from some stuff last year and how difficult it was with COVID. I mean, there was a lot of some of what was talked about, and how we're gonna get better this year than the 1-9 or 10 season that we had last year, but again, he reminded people that there were reasons why it happened, and that we weren't the healthiest, and we were missing some people, and we're not really the deepest. So there's a lot of talk on that, and obviously he got asked about the quarterback controversy, because again, like what you said, assuming you would have assumed that if there was a lead guy or a definite starter, that that person would be going to media day, right? And we didn't send a quarterback. I think we were the only ACC team to not send a quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be telling. And plus, every single time that they even asked any of the players about that, like all like Tosh Harris, they talked to him about it, and he ended up like naming off like
all the quarterbacks.
Yeah, right. And like Dino Babers, right. And Dino was like, you know, he kind of didn't talk about individuals as much as he said, well, you know, I just think that's the best that that room has been, right? And since probably since he's been there, as far as like depth and stuff like that, which I mean, realistically, when you look at it, it's kind of true. You know, you get the DeVito and the Schrader. I know that we had Dungy and DeVito, but nothing really after that. And I mean, Jacoby and Morgan, he played, right? Justin Lampson, yeah, was a decent recruit. He came in, you know, Dylan Markowitz. I mean, so we got some guys, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. And I don't know where we're going to go with that. That's obviously going to be the biggest story in camp this fall, because I don't see too many changes along the starters on offense and defense. It's going to be interesting to see who gets some of the defensive back positions because of the guys that we lost. But there's really not going to be that much change. I expect an addition with Chris Blights, and it's going to be interesting to see who's going to step up as receivers. That was something else that came up because, you know, there's Tosh Harris and then who else, right? But that quarterback thing really is going to be interesting, you know. And I don't really know where you go with that.
I don't know. I mean,
they're two different players, you know. And I was talking to you about it, and it just seems to me like, I mean, really, minus Ryan Nassib and a team that had, what, Doug Marrone and offensive line coach for the NFL, and when we just happened to have, like, some of the best offensive lines in recent memory. And, you know, I mean, minus Ryan Nassib, like, we're usually, I mean, if we're winning 9-10 games, we have a dual threat quarterback. And that goes all the way back to McPherson, Marvin Graves, Donovan McNabb. I mean, you can argue that Dungy's the best quarterback Syracuse has had since
McNabb.
Since McNabb, right?
Yeah.
So now you have this guy that's dual threat. He did the read option, the run pass option stuff at Mississippi State. And, you know, they just got a different coach. I mean, it wasn't even like he's not a good player or he couldn't hack it, so he had to transfer, right? They just got a new coach and they changed philosophies. And, you know, it's just tough because it just seems to me like, you know, Dino brought in DeVito to be his guy, but the Dungy-like player, I mean, I even saw it in Justin Lampson in his
tape.
In his tape, right? So, yeah, it's tough because DeVito, he's just, I mean, he, as much as he does have legs, I mean, you see what happens, and it's going to be interesting to see because, you know, when DeVito has time in the pocket, he's a pretty good player. He can make those throws. Where he gets it and where Dungy was amazing was his decisions outside of the pocket, moving the when he's scrambling and he's got to decide, do I run? Do I squeeze it in there? Do I throw it away? That's where you don't see the good decisions, and obviously sometimes he's not very good at getting or escaping the pocket before it gets to a point to where he's going to get sacked. So there's little things like that, right? But then when you hear some rumblings and stuff and you see Garrett Schrader, it's like, okay, well, is he good in the pocket or does he have to be moving to actually be a playmaker and make plays? So you got different guys and up and down the quarterback depth chart and in that room. So it's going to be interesting to see which direction we start to go this year. And on to the future as far as what type of quarterbacks we're going to be lining up there on Saturday.
All right. Michael in the Green Room app requested to join, but he is no longer there. That's fine. He's there. Michael.
I'm here.
All right. Hey, man. What's up? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Sean. Joe, first question. Are we going to go see a game this year?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. I mean, they're coming down to NC State, right?
I thought so. Hopefully they let us with this variant, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that's obviously to be determined. And plus, NC State's like the second-to-last game of the season. So you know how that goes. by that time, who knows what our record's going to be and how motivated we're going to be to want to go to that game. So hopefully,
you know, like me and you, we'll go regardless.
Hey, like I said, I'm down. We'll figure it out. I haven't missed a game that's been down here in Wake Forest or NC State as far as football
goes. I'll bring you some Mick Ultras.
Oh, okay. All right. Appreciate that, buddy.
What do you think about the quarterback situation, Michael?
Man, I don't know. I want to believe in DeVito. I really do.
Do you want to see a change, though? Because, I want, obviously, whoever's better to play. And I trust Coach to make that decision. But, I mean, I want to see Garrett Schrader. I really do. I want to see something different.
I want to see all of them. I want to believe in DeVito because, like, he's got the heart of a lion, but I just haven't seen it yet with anything. But at the same time, our offensive line has been terrible. You know, without an offensive line to protect an NFL quarterback, he's not going to do well. And that's what we've seen.
I think that's going to be quarterback, Mike.
That's going to get better. That's going to get better, I think. We're going to see I think that's probably where we're going to see the biggest difference this year. At least I'm hoping. I mean, you can't work on it for this long and have nothing get better. So,
I mean, if that doesn't get better, then that's all another reason to put a dual threat guy in there and a guy that's a little bit faster.
Well,
exactly. It's not even a point to say that he might not be as good as DeVito, but if he's got to run, you know, and escape sacks every play, then you're not going to want DeVito in there, you know?
No, not at all.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right, Michael. It'll thanks a lot, man. Appreciate you hopping on.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem at all, man.
Absolutely, bud.
And with that said, that's a perfect segue into this. Before we get into the post game for Forces of Soul and Boeheim's Army, I want to tell you about the Spotify Green Room app. That was it. You can get on there. You can talk to us. Download the app. Create an account. Get an email address and a password and a username. That's all it takes. It's free. Just download it at iOS or Android stores. You can follow us on there at Cuse Militia or Sean Cuse Militia. Just type Cuse Militia. People were having a hard time finding it, so I had to change it. But I think it's Sean Cuse Militia. Anyway, go there. Find us. And you don't have to just listen to us and, you know, come on our show. You can do your own thing. You can do whatever you want. And it's free. So you can have some fun with it. And you can talk anything on there. It's not just sports. It's whatever. It's culture. It's politics. It's whatever you want to do. So you make it what you want it to be. That is the Spotify Green Room app. iOS and Android stores. Go there. Download it. Appreciate it. Okay, Joe.
Sir.
So when you know, you get all psyched up in the morning time for this game, and then it starts. You know, Malachi Richardson comes out on fire, and it was a game of, like, individual runs Tyrese Rice took over. And he just balled out, obviously. The final score, 65-53. Boeheim's Army squeaks went out. They were down 7 at the half, and they could not get anything close to the rim. Tyler Lydon, Chris McCullough missed a couple, too. Chris McCullough, probably the, you know, besides Malachi, the other Syracuse guy that really made any difference out there. And it seems to be like Devendorf wearing the 44, Joe. It seems to be like he's kind of obviously taking on kind of a smaller role on the court. I know we're used to seeing him out there a lot, but he's kind of more of a, he's been involved with a lot of the recruiting for this team and in helping Kelvin Belby and get this team together and all that stuff. And
right.
While he's still on the team, obviously he didn't play much. We didn't see him much. He only scored 2 points, but they shook the rust off and right at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and pretty much it wasn't easy, but they did come back and they did win. So they're going to face, Heartfire tomorrow night. And we'll go over that too. But what'd you think, Joe? It's well worth getting some of these outside the box guys, outside the SU click guys to play if you want to win, because obviously you got Tyrese Rice and DeAndre Kane did a good job too, and DJ Kennedy didn't score a lot, but he had 9 rebounds.
So, 9 rebounds. He was plus 18.
Yeah.
And even DeAndre Kane, he had 7 points, 8 rebounds, two assists, a block. Like, and he, from what I understand, didn't join the team until Illinois. I don't even think he was in Syracuse practicing with them. So, yeah, these guys, obviously, you see Tyrese Rice is the leader that he's been.
Boston College.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, there was an article out today. I don't want to get this wrong, so I don't know if it's like Orange Fizz or if it's Noons. So, Orange Fizz had an article about Tyrese Hill and basically like what he's done and everything like that. And I mean, he's been MVPs of tournaments. He's won championships overseas, Euro Cup, FIBA. He was three times all ACC, all team ACC. I believe they even made the Sweet 16 one year when he was there with Boston College. So this guy, I always thought he was a great guard, and I thought he was going to make the NBA. A guy I forgot about that is 34 years old now and has played really good overseas. And that guy was obviously the leader that we needed because, the other guy, Kiefer Sykes, I think he had a tough go with it. And we just needed to get the win, especially the first game they talked about. First game is always the most difficult, and you're trying to get out the rust and everything like that. And they just had to play who they had to play to get that job done. And two, Dievendorf, I think it's going to be a situation where I wouldn't expect him to be on the bench, at that much for probably the rest of the tournament. So I think he was allowing guys to get the stuff out there and get the W. But I think it's a team to team thing. And that team that we played yesterday, they were a physical.
They were wildly aggressive. They had the energy the whole game. Believe it or not, I thought that turnovers were 11-11. But the way that game went, it seemed like we had 20.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. Yeah, it was sloppy. You saw some guys, some guys not ready for passes and not catching passes. Chris McCullough missed two alley-oops. We missed bunnies all around. I mean, Tyler Lydon, all those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, DJ Kennedy plus 18 while he was on the floor, played great defense, and you can tell he's a leader out there. But, 3 points and some of the shots he had, you're not going to see him play again like that. So just to get through that game, like you said, it was a game of runs, and in the beginning of the game, I was like, oh, okay, we're going to run away with this, right?
Yeah, and all of a sudden, with Malachi it was like creep, going off.
And then, then we couldn't hit anything.
No.
And it was like, okay. And then in the second half, you saw that, I think that they started to get a little tired. And I think we started really, really putting the pressure on and probably played like we should have been playing the whole game. But we got through it. Because I thought it was going to be a lot easier than that, at least the first round. But they kept saying yesterday that the first game's toughest, right?
Yeah, I mean they had some good players on the team. They were aggressive. They were hitting their shots. They were actually finishing around the rim pretty decent. But like they were saying, like you just said, just to piggyback on that, it's always like that. You got old guys, they ain't playing basketball constantly, right? They had, a week of practice, missing Pascal Chukwu, who was supposed to be there, that couldn't get out of Europe to come back.
Right, right.
And so you call an audible, and you're during that week, you're waiting to see if you're going to have Pascal in there or whatever, and who knows? I mean, they haven't played together a ton, and right. It's a lot of new faces. So, and I mean, I know everybody's in the same page. That was Force of Soul's second TBT game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they were a brand new team this year. And Heartfire, too, was brand new. We'll talk about them. They were brand new. They went 0-1 last year. That was their inaugural season. And so they're going to come back, and they're going to want to extinguish anything that Boeheim's Army has built up through the Forces of Soul game. But it's, I got to be honest, I haven't had time to watch a lot of the games. I know that they went on all last week. I mean, it's just not on the top of mind to set my DVR for it, So, right. It's fun to watch. I love the Elam ending stuff. In fact, let's do some fan feedback while we're on this before we get to
Elam ending is fun. I like how you have the different kind of rules, how, once the ball hits all the fouls, once, you know, not as many free throws, and once the ball hits the rim or the backboard, I mean, or at least the rim anyway, you can take it off of there. So there's not really a lot of goaltending once the ball hits the rim and stuff like that. So they have different things. And really, I mean, they let them play. I mean, you saw yesterday. I mean, there were some bad calls. There were some really bad calls at both ends, though. So
I thoroughly enjoyed it without a ton of whistles, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Right. Well, there were some obvious ones, though, too.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think I saw a comment. I don't know if we have it, but there was a comment about the refs. At Coach Dumont on Twitter, this team starts rolling and becomes one unit. No one will compete with them. But, I mean, this team is built to win. So if they start, to your point, if they start rolling, they're going to be a force to reckon with. And, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, look what happened to, was it Carmen's crew? They almost lost. You know, there was a couple upsets. I think Heartfire beat a 6 seed. They're an 11 seed. So anything can happen in this tournament. A lot of these guys are pros. I mean, pros in and out, you know, NBA, overseas or whatever. So this isn't, you know, anything can happen. I think more so in these types of games than regular college basketball. So at Stan Breezy, need way more energy next game. Absolutely. I mean, obviously, I don't know. Sometimes you think, do they come out soft and slow because they think they got this thing in the bag or what? Because there was no energy there. But, you know, and you would think it would build with Malachi hitting the way he was hitting. So, you know, whatever. Knocking the rust off.
You really would.
You know what I mean? So, and the crowd just did. I don't know what the rules are for people and attendance, but didn't sound like a lot. Didn't feel like a lot. So
yeah, well, I mean, it was in Illinois. I saw a lot of Illinois.
Yeah, so I saw that fans sitting in the stands.
Yeah. So, So who knows if they took a majority of it? If there's not a lot of people that are, you know, traveling to go see these or whatnot. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. But they did get to stay and watch their team lose. So.
Oh, that's nice. At Orange Party 2003, great team energy in the fourth. Great leadership by Rice, Richardson, Kennedy, and Kane. Kennedy will be the factor long term. He didn't have many points, but did things that got his teammates open. Never gave up. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's your guy coming into this. I was thinking, you know, he's going to be something to watch. And also Tyler Lydon. I was a little disappointed in Tyler Lydon, but. You know, he'll settle in. Being what he was in the NBA, he's pretty damn good. So,
right.
Matthew B. on Facebook, Elam ending is made for those who can defend man-to-man, make shots, and just playing toughness and grit. Feelings aside, the five at the end fit the characteristics the best. Yeah, when they pulled it out. I mean,
yeah,
with that group, right? So,
nope.
Matt on Facebook, Elam ending, good for the TBT. Love it there. I don't want it to spread. I want it to continue to be exclusive. So, right. Yeah, it's fun for this tournament. You know, there's been rumblings and whatnot of, oh, should we implement this in the NCAA? No. No, just
no.
Leave it what it is and let it stand alone for itself where it is, and that is in the TBT. And it works great there. Works great there. Daryl, this team needs to work on rebounding and play with more energy. They can't just walk into an arena and think because they showed up it was going to be an easy win. The team needs to also clean up the missed shots and layups around the basket. Yeah, that was my biggest complaint. If I had a biggest complaint, it wouldn't even be the energy. It'd be the missed bunnies. I mean, you know, you got guys right there. And, I mean, you're professionals. Let's act like it. So
yeah, and that's where Lydon got me. And honestly, I mean, Chris McCullough, I know he missed some stuff, but he did have 12 points and 8 rebounds. So, you know, and he was in there at the end. Lydon didn't have any points, had 2 assists, 6 rebounds. So definitely going to need that to
more
be a little
him.
Bit better. Yeah. And as far as, I mean, we out-rebounded him 47 to 32. So, and we had 17 second chance points to their 2. So,
yeah, by the way, I love the way that they break that. The TBT breaks these extra stats down too. Points in the paint. You see every game, you know?
Yep.
For every game, you see the points in the paint. That's one thing I wish that we would always have is points in the paint. You know, sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't.
Fast break points, bench points.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love the way they do it. It
gives you everything right there. And so, I agree with that comment, like, pretty much for the first half of the game. But I think the energy and everything, you know, that came up the second half a lot better. Like I said, we out-rebounded them by 15.
Yeah. Let's see if Michael might want to come back on. Michael, are you there? Nope, I think you removed his request. All right. okay, so we are going to face... Hold on, let me just make sure, because I'm almost positive it's 7 o'clock. Yes. 7 o'clock tomorrow night, which that's going to be nice. ESPN2. Going to play the 11 seed Heartfire. Heartfire, they got some Baylor dudes on there. Aaron Epps from LSU. There was one that caught my eye. And Jared Wilson Frame.
Jared Wilson Frame.
Played for Marquette. Pitt.
Was it Pitt or was it Marquette?
It was Pitt.
No. Oh, yeah. Yep, Pitt. Yep.
It's around.
And so did Gary McGee.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Gary McGee, the center. So
a little older.
Yeah. And so they got those, like, again, they got a couple guys in Baylor, even Tevin Mack, who just recently graduated from, Clemson.
And their coach, LaFonso Ellis. So.
Well, I mean, LaFonso, yeah. Yeah, that stuck out too. But, yeah, he's not playing.
Yeah, I know he's not playing. That's why I said in their coach. But... this is a team that they pulled off an upset win, and you know, I'd be worried about any of these teams, like I said earlier, but we'll just have to see. I mean, what in here sticks out to you? I know that Wilson Frame actually had a really good game, but there was someone that outscored him, and it slips my mind right now. But I think
Tevin Mack.
Okay, all right. Well, Wilson Frame had like 18, I think, and he had 19. Something like that. So,
15 and 16.
Oh, okay.
Sean.
Yeah. Hey, you there, Mike?
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I was giving my kid a bath.
Oh.
you
got something to say about Boeheim's Army?
Oh man. So I didn't get to watch it. Unfortunately, ESPN blocked me out again, as usual.
Really?
Yeah. My buddy had a Cox subscription that I was able to watch it on, but now I got nothing. So I was watching the play-by-play when I was studying, and it was terrible.
Yeah, that would have probably drove me nuts if I had to watch that.
It was so awful. I was like, really? We're down by this much?
Yeah, 7 at the half. I wasn't expecting it. I think it got up to like 9 at one point.
Yeah, 9. And then they came storming back like typical Cuse fashion. Did you guys see a lot of Devo? Like, because I just wanted to ask some questions about it because like I didn't see it. So did you see a lot of Devo? Like, how was he?
He didn't.
Was he more of like a coach on the sideline, or like was he more involved in the game itself?
Well, that's what I was kind of speculating, is that he's taken on a little bit different role, I think. But Joe seems to think you're going to see more of him. He didn't play a lot this past game. He didn't do much, but I think he had 2 points.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would expect to see him, but he did a lot of the recruiting. And he does a lot of that stuff for getting these teams set up. And he obviously also plays, but
it could have just been the matchup. Could have just been the matchup. But Mike, as a question to fan, you know, you have the DeAndre Kane, Tyrese Rice, and DJ Kennedy, who pretty much, I mean, if you watch the game, which I know you read it, but those guys were the main guys. So, like, as a Syracuse fan, and you know, this Boeheim's Army supposedly supposed to be, you know, Syracuse alum, how are you feeling about some of these other guys coming in and being some of the main players that are getting a lot of the shots and a lot of the shine in minutes?
You know what, man? It's a little bittersweet because you're like, all right, team's doing great, but at the same time, you're like, yo, those aren't Cuse players.
Yeah, it's mixed emotions.
Yeah, it's very mixed, yeah. Right? So,
I don't think we could win without him, though. I mean, honestly.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you, Sean. I don't think we could have.
Yeah.
Sorry, my wife just.
This guy's doing dad stuff right now.
Oh, good.
I know. I'm doing dad stuff. My wife's home.
That's multitasking right there.
Yeah, it is.
I know.
Excellent.
I'm working on it.
Well, all right, Mike. Give us your prediction. You feeling bold enough to give us a prediction on the next game coming up tomorrow night at 7?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We're definitely winning.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Oh yeah. We're gonna win that.
We'll take that.
I couldn't give you a score, but I'm gonna say it's probably. I'm gonna go 60 to. What does it have to be? 6 points. So.
Oh no! It can be whatever, right?
No, it can be.
Yeah,
whatever.
The spread at the end could be whatever.
Yeah, so it'll probably 60, close to 70 for Syracuse. Yeah, okay. That's what I'm saying.
All right, Mike. All right. You have a good night.
And all right, you guys.
Do your family thing there, bud.
All right.
So. Yep. Take care, man. I mean. It's something that is going to give us – it just gives me a little bit of pep in my step, man, because we're going to lead into this, and we got in just another few short weeks once this is over. Hopefully Syracuse Bayham's Army lasts long enough to make some noise in the finals, hopefully. And then a few weeks after that, we're like, pretty much full-on football. So
– yeah.
It's gonna be fun.
It's this game tomorrow makes me a little nervous. Obviously, they won. Heartfire won, and they won by 13. And just looking at the game and how it went, you have this team that they beat. I forget what the name of the team is, but
it was overlooked.
Okay, overlooked. Overlooked had less turnovers by 6. They had more steals by 2. Good with the bench points, like more bench points, more fast break points, all that kind of stuff. This team, Heartfire, out-rebounded them by 20. And again, like I said, still had 6 more turnovers than them and still won by 13. So, obviously, you know, I'm looking at Jared Wilson-Frame, and Tevin Mack and A.J. Walton, all guys I remember watching in college, good players. They were the double-digit guys. And you got Gary McGee, Epps, a couple big guys. So it's definitely going to be, a tough game, and we're going to need to have, we know we need to slow down. So, and that's really the one thing with this is it seems like, the teams that end up being good and making the runs are the teams that got, all right size, but it's more just it's the defense, it's the tough guys, it's playing tough, getting good rebounds, and then every one of them has a couple good scores that are just tough to stop. So this is a team that kind of fits that mold, and I mean, as do we, but those guys are obviously going to be the guys that we have to stop to win on Monday. And it doesn't look like it's going to be as easy as the first game wasn't easy. So what was I talking about? So.
Yeah. It wasn't, and I mean, like I said, when you were telling me about them a little bit on the phone, I mean, any one of these teams makes me nervous. Knowing what I've seen out of Boeheim's Army just the past couple of years, I mean, anyone can win one of these games. Like I said, so
right.
Look, I mean, we will try. So they would play tomorrow, and if they won, they would play Wednesday.
Correct.
So we will try. Can't promise anything because every time I promise something, we don't ever get back here, but we'll try to get back. we'll just see how it goes. I do need to get in a rhythm back to a routine schedule with doing the show, because honestly, it's so much harder when you go to every other week from 2-3 times a week to every other week. It's a nice break, but man, I'm all discombobulated and, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, I forget what the hell I was doing. So, anyways,
I think we'll be able to get back to one a week once football camps opens up,
We'll see. Yeah, I got to have something. You got to give me something. Some kind of substance.
Yeah, but I mean, you're talking, they go back to camp. You know there's going to be stories. It's 2 or 3 weeks worth of stuff helps us get back into the mold, doing one a week. And then once we get back to football, I mean, it'll be easy because we have, you know, our schedule that we have. So
it's Sundays and Tuesdays, right? Wasn't that what it was?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, Sunday postgame, Tuesday pregame. So, all right, well, we appreciate all of you for hanging out with us. And if you would, go to the iOS or Android store, download the Spotify Green Room. Be like Mike. Be like Mike. He did it. You can do it too.
Like Mike.
We appreciate all of you for hanging out with us. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.